Are you wrestling with questions that really matter but just keep coming up empty or perplexed? Well, you've come to the right place. Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is committed to equipping you with answers that have stood the test of time. Our aim is to help you mine the Bible for all its wealth, so you can share those riches with a skeptical world still hungry for spiritual truth. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I hope you will not tune me out, because once again, I'm going to say something about abortion. And all too often, people have what has been popularly termed as abortion fatigue. The reason I use this opportunity to once again broach that subject is that today marks the 46th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court decision to legalize abortion on demand. And since that fateful day in 1973, 60 million babies have been killed in the United States of America. And by the way, worldwide, between 40 and 50 million abortions are performed each and every year. That's about 125,000 abortions every single day. The number of abortions performed by Planned Parenthood are not declining. They're increasing this year by 11,373, and the 3 in the 11,373 is an important number in that each life, and sometimes we get lost in the statistics, is a life that matters, because every human being upon conception is a body-soul unity created as an icon of God. Planned Parenthood conducted 332,757 abortions in the year 2018 alone, last year. 563.8 million in revenue comes from our government to Planned Parenthood. And that is an increase of about $20 million from the previous fiscal year. Private contributions, private, not government, but private, they grew to $630.8 million. And that's not all. 1.5 million individual contributors. That's outside of government grants and corporate contributions. Yesterday, when I got home, I saw a remarkable interview on Fox. It was with actress Ashley Bratcher. She plays an anti-abortionist activist, an anti-abortion activist named Abby Johnson, in a soon-to-be-released biopic that's titled Unplanned. And as a Planned Parenthood clinic director, she facilitated about 22,000 abortions. And she counseled countless women on their reproductive choices. But now she's an outspoken pro-life advocate. And this upcoming film, Unplanned, tells her true story. Turns out that Ashley Bratcher, the actor who plays Abby Johnson in the film, has a story of her own. And that's what mesmerized me yesterday as I was watching. She's been somewhat ambivalent about abortion. But then in preparing for her role and studying the details that Abby Johnson shared about working at Planned Parenthood, her eyes were suddenly open to the reality of what abortion really is, what it actually is, the painful killing of an innocent human being. And when she started to tell her mother that she'd been cast to play the role of Abby Johnson, her mother broke down in tears. And through her tears, she said, I need to tell you something that I never told you before. When I was 19, I went to have an abortion. I was in the clinic on the table. And the nurse that was attending to me was very pregnant, and she came in to examine me, and I got sick to my stomach. I knew I couldn't do it. I got up. I walked out. I chose life. I chose you. All of Ashley's experiences are a reality because of the choice made that day. Ashley says that she never knew that about herself until she stepped into this role to play Abby Johnson and tell one of the greatest pro-life stories of all time. The fact is simply this. Abortion is the painful killing of an innocent human being. It is painful because the child that is killed is subjected to methods that are unthinkable, sometimes burning and smothering, dismembering, crushing, and then sold for profit. It's killing in that from the very beginning, that which is terminated fulfills the criteria necessary for establishing the existence of biological life. And that includes metabolism, development, even the ability to react to stimuli, cell reproduction. So it's painful, it's killing, and it's the painful killing of an innocent human being, in that a preborn child deserves protection, not capital punishment. A preborn child is very vulnerable. We might say the most vulnerable amongst us, and is a human being in truth, in that the child who is killed is the offspring of human parents, has a totally distinct genetic code. The bottom line is this: to be silent or to be uninformed in an age of scientific enlightenment is to be complicit in the carnage. Thankfully, however, those, by God's grace, who have participated in abortion may receive God's forgiveness in the present. And they could also look forward to the ecstasy of reunification with unborn loved ones in eternity. God's grace is beyond compare. The quote of the day comes from President Ronald Reagan. This was from his proclamation designating the National Sanctity of Human Life Day back in 1984. He said this: "We have been given the precious gift of human life. made more precious still by our births in or pilgrimages to a land of freedom. It is fitting then, said Ronald Reagan, on the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision in Roe v. Wade that struck down state anti-abortion laws, that we reflect anew on these blessings and on our corresponding responsibility to guard with care the lives and freedoms of even the weakest of our fellow human beings. Reagan was right. But think of all the presidents, including President Trump, that are sounding the same alarm against abortion, that are opting for life. When you think about these presidents, you realize that while the ballot box is necessary, it's not sufficient. The educational, the environmental, the institutions that surround us are still crafting the culture, when Christianity should indeed be doing so.
In his new book, The Human Advantage, Jay Richards reveals what is really happening in the American economy. By dispelling myths about capitalism, greed, and upward mobility, Dr. Richards reveals how to rebuild a culture of virtue by capitalizing on the skills that are most uniquely human: creativity, resilience, and empathy for the needs of others. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, call 888-7000-CRI or visit online at equip.org. We'll be back with more in just a moment from Hank Hanegraaff. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Smart machines are reshaping our world and our future. But these machines will never be a substitute for what Dr. Jay Richards calls the human advantage. Yet it is critical for the next generation of Christians to understand that in the future, more and more jobs will be done by smart machines, and we must plan accordingly. The new book by Dr. Jay Richards, The Human Advantage, will help you understand the increasing threat posed by artificial intelligence and show why the marvelous creation of the human mind and body can never be matched by any machine. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go to our phone calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. John in British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, John.
How are you doing, Hank? The reason why I'm calling, by the way, I do agree with what a lot of good things Ronald Reagan said. One statement that stuck with me was, those who are for abortion have already been born. So really a good statement to make. But my question is sort of related. It's based on the Levitical law and what's worthy or what counts as a type of contravention of God's law that would warrant a person to be put to death. And I'm speaking specifically of a Canadian that lived about an hour's drive from me in, here in Canada, who has been held in China and is going to be executed possibly this week. And I'm just wondering, is there a basis in the Levitical law that would warrant someone to be put to death for drug possession, or is this just basically politics between Canada and China, because I know they write
that. It may be politics, but it's also law, and I don't think that you can invoke Levitical law. Levitical law was for a particular people at a particular point in time. It was God governing a people in a theocratic context. And so we need to be very, very careful about trying to take Levitical law and import that into modern day realities. I've often said, instead of reading anachronistic prejudices into the text of Scripture, what we would be well served to do is to read the Bible synergistically. And the example I like to give is Nancy Pelosi. Obviously, her name is in the news every single day. And she has no hope of comprehending the provisions of Obamacare apart from reading its 2,000-plus pages. And the reason I like that analogy is we are not doing justice to Torah law without carefully considering its complexities. And so we can no more read New World realities into ancient Near Eastern legalities than we can read Torah legalities into New Covenant realities. So we have to learn to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended and not take Mosaic law and import it into a situation currently taking place in China. Now, what we can do is pray. What we can do is make certain that those that we impact are not selling drugs, particularly in foreign countries, if indeed this is true. Because in many countries, I mean, I flew into Singapore many years ago, and one of the things I noticed immediately is that in the entry card, it said drugs death. In other words, they forewarned you. If you're bringing drugs into our culture, we'll kill you. So you're forewarned. And as a result, Singapore has very little, if any, drug problem whatsoever. So the laws are specifically intended to prohibit the sale and trafficking of drugs, just as they're intended to prohibit the sale and trafficking of people in various areas of the world.
Good answer. Do they have any kind of law in China that does dictate who gets put to death and who doesn't? Is there any kind of law, or what is it? Do they have their own constitution?
Well, they're a communist government, therefore you have a large mass of people controlled by a very small group of people, and they can do pretty much what they want. I do not know. I'm no expert on their laws, although I've been to China many, many times. I couldn't tell you about this specifically. It's something I could look up, but I wouldn't know offhand.
Well, thank you very much anyway. Well, we will keep him in prayer.
Yes, of course, yes. And a lot of people listening right now will be praying for him, I'm sure, as well.
Thanks, Hank. God bless you.
God bless you. I do want to make a quick note today about the widespread media coverage of the viral video or videos that involved a standoff between Native American activist Nathan Phillips and Covington Catholic High School students. I happen to be watching this as well. And you know something's rotten in Denmark sometimes. It just has the wrong vibe. And this was the case with this particular short edition of the video when you see it in the context of a longer edition. Because what isn't discussed or shown is that what really started it all was a small group of black Hebrew Israelites. They were taunting, they were yelling at Native American demonstrators, and then later yelling and taunting Catholic students. The black Hebrew Israelites tell the Native Americans that they lost their land. And if you watch the video, the longer version, you see this in context. They lost their land. Why? Because they worshiped the wrong God. So they're taunting the Native Americans. And they are known for being racist. And therefore, it's not surprising at all that the black Hebrew Israelites were calling the mostly white Catholic students crackers, which is quite obviously a racial epithet. And we ought to know something about these black Hebrew Israelites, because they're increasingly visible. And therefore, we ought to know about their teaching. And I've tried to make that plain in a lot of different ways. I've done articles on it in the Christian Research Journal, published, and you can find them on the web at equip.org. I've also conducted a Hank Unplugged podcast with Vocab Malone on the subject of black Hebrew Israelites. And you can listen to that at equip.org or iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. But in brief, they believe, in terms of their genealogy, that they are the descendants of the 10 lost tribes of Israel. Imagine that. From the standpoint of their racism, they overtly say that white people are descendants of Gehazi, who was cursed with leprosy and thus became white. And therefore, whites are uniformly castigated as wicked, unrighteous rejecters of God. And therefore, according to black Hebrew Israelites, they call their own to come out of Babylon, because in their words, they have to separate themselves from American culture. And they're also Judaizers. They hold to a strict compliance of the very law that I was talking to earlier, Mosaic law. In their view, the Old Testament has not been fulfilled, and thus salvation is relegated to obedience to Mosaic law. In other words, they're not only in bondage themselves, but they're seeking to bring other people into bondage as well. The bondage that we are delivered from by Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no way that we can attain to Mosaic law. I'll never forget being in Iran, speaking at the University of Tehran. Two Jewish rabbis who believed that Israel was an illegal, immoral state. Reason was is that after the desecration of the temple, the land was declared desolate, and therefore until Messiah comes, it can't be cleansed, and therefore you can't have a nation there. That was their point of view. And I still remember being with them and watching them seek to adhere to the strict standards of Mosaic law, particularly when it came to eating. It is a burden that is simply unbearable. Nor is it a burden that we have to bear. Because the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats. The blood of Jesus Christ is the substance that fulfills the symbol, the types and shadows that came before. In terms of misunderstanding language, well, according to some Black Hebrew Israelite adherents, it is misguided at best to use the term Jesus, instead incumbent to use the Hebrew rendering Yeshua. Many problems with this growing cult. Again, I talked about it on a podcast that you can find on the web at equip.org. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We'll never be politically correct, and therefore we are so grateful for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, and I look forward to being right back here in the same chair for tomorrow's broadcast. See you then.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Smart machines are reshaping our world and our future. But these machines will never be a substitute for what Dr. Jay Richards calls the human advantage. Yet it is critical for the next generation of Christians to understand that in the future, more and more jobs will be done by smart machines, and we must plan accordingly. The new book by Dr. Jay Richards, The Human Advantage, will help you understand the increasing threat posed by artificial intelligence and show why the marvelous creation of the human mind and body can never be matched by any machine. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org.